Oh, welcome back to the Michael Duke Show, AM 700 KBYR, 624 AM is news time, and we are jumping into something new right now. We're about to talk with Pamela Capone, who by day is a self-professed professional unpaid people watcher, evidence gathered by night, an insomniac dot connector. She lives in Southern California with her husband, John. They have two fabulous adult children. She's also an inspiring on-camera and voiceover actor, public speaker. And, you know, she takes avid note of things that are the written word, of which she has written a lot now because now she's got a brand new book out. I Punched Myself in the Eye, Stories of Self-Sabotage, Imperfection, and Perfect Amazing Grace. She joins us this morning to talk about this and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on board and joining us this morning. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, I just kind of gave the thumbnail there. Tell us a little bit about Pamela Capone.
Well, I think that the world is an airport, basically. I love to watch people. I feel like if I keep my ears open and my eyes open, I am I'm the witness to a ton of really funny stories, really interesting stories. And I think life has a lot to teach us if we just pay attention.
You know, it's and that's the thing. I think a lot of times it was Emerson, I think, that was a kind of getting to know ourselves and getting to know everything around us. But, I, you know, I think that there's so much to offer if we just actually sat back for a second and took a look at what was going on around us and watching people. I also am an avid people watcher. There's nothing I like better than at an airport to sit around and look at people and kind of make up little stories about what they're doing, who they are, you know, based on what I see, you know, like, who
right,
are you?
I do
what
the same
what kind
thing.
Of person are you? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the backstory here? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm always like, what's going on in your lives that you're happy or you're sad or you're obviously agitated? What's going on? Or you're just ambivalent or you can't, oh, you just crash into a pole. Put your phone down. You know, I mean, whatever it is.
Right, right.
It's pretty amazing
exactly.
stuff. But what, so tell us a little bit about, your new book.
Well, it's a compilation of personal essays. I call them messays because life is a little messy. So that's how I got that, little phrase. Yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of the stories are, they're all true stories. All of them, I think, are at least very light and, upbeat. Actually, I take that back. Most of them are. There's a couple in there, maybe two or three that are pretty serious that deal with, harder topics. But for the most part, they're very uplifting and fun. Some of them are just really, really hilarious. And in fact, I wrote them and I've read them over and over, but still sometimes when I pick up my book, I'll read a story and I seriously die laughing because I can't believe some of the stuff that's happened to me. So yeah, and if you want to hear just a quick little one of the stories, I could tell you about something that happened on a plane coming back from Guatemala. I do some work at a girls' school in Guatemala City called Ima. And I was just returning from a week there, and I was exhausted. I was a little bit sick, and it just really, really tired. And I was seated in a window seat, which I hate. And I was seated next to a woman who was just had no personal boundaries whatsoever. Sure, her arms were flailing. She was bumping me. She kept talking to me in Spanish, and I indicated I don't speak Spanish. And I was just really, really tired. I don't really want to talk to you right now. I love you. I love people, but not right now. I just want to go to sleep. And she wouldn't let it. She would not let that happen. So I like it because it absolutely happened the way I wrote it down. And I think it's really cool because it was just there was a real character arc for me in it. And in the end, it was just kind of a story about, humanity and grace and redemption and, it all came together in a really sweet message at the end. So a lot of the stories are things that have happened to me or things that I witnessed or things that I've heard about. And then I just put it down on paper and it's really fun. It's a really, really fun book. It's a book that I would love to read.
So. Well, which is good because, you know, you wrote it. So it'd be good that you have to read it.
Yeah.
I think it's a positive. It's a win-win. Let's talk a little bit about your drive to write. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, they want to write things down in, you call them essays, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's journaling or things like that. What made you take the leap from, you know, writing down anecdotal stories or things that have happened to you to say, you know, what I really need to do, we need to bind this between two things and, you know, put this out there and make a book out of it. What was the impetus? What was the catalyst that, you know, take that, the leap from one to the other?
Right. Well, I've been threatening myself to write for 20 years. I wrote my book, my first book, in my late 20s. And I've been feeling this calling, this need to write for years, but I think that I let my fears and my worries about judgment and my own feelings of inadequacy really get in the way of that. I threatened for a long time and I kept saying, I'm going to do it. And then it wasn't until I realized that those fears and concerns about what other people will think, I didn't really realize how much power that had over me until last year. So it just occurred to me, you know, I need to let go of that stuff and just make a conscious, disciplined effort on a daily basis to write. And so my goal was to write either 500 words a day or 2 hours a day. And my goal was to write it in 6 months. But, you know, life happens and things got in the way and life's messy. And I wasn't able to do it every single day, but I didn't let that get me totally off track. I just continued to get back. You know, if I missed a day, then I just got back to it the next day. And I was able to write it in 9 months. And it felt really good. And it felt really, it's just such an example of getting practical, tangible goals, and just doing it, just saying, you know, I'm not going to let anything get in my way this time and I'm going to do it. And I was able to do it last year and it feels really good. It feels like a really, really cool accomplishment. And a lot of the stories to me are gifts. They're just things that have happened that I was, had enough of a talent or a gift or whatever you want to call it to take the time to write it down. And I think they're pretty entertaining.
Do you see lessons everywhere you go? I mean, it sounds like this is, you know, this is a book about, you know, lessons in life and, you know, situational, you know, anecdotes and things like that. Do you find these things everywhere in your life? Do you find messages and meaning in all these things that are happening? Some of the weirdest things. And is that kind of why you wrote all this stuff down into the book?
It really is. I really see a lot of different, if it's not just a full on story that writes itself in front of me or that I'm one of the characters in, a lot of times it'll be just something, an anecdote or a metaphor that happens in a day. Just, you know, and especially happens when I'm traveling or when I'm outside exercising, running or riding a bike. When I'm less distracted, I do see those messages and I see a lot of lessons, in everyday life. And I think that really is the message of the book, to be aware, because I think we go through life kind of waiting for these big, flashing Vegas metaphorical signs. And sometimes, most of the time in my life, it's been the little moments that really, really grab me. And they really do pack the biggest punch if we just are aware. I think that's key.
I was intrigued because I was on your website looking at your bio on your website. And you have this commentary where you're very much like Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched, the old sitcom, which is a favorite around my household. It's something that it's like if there's something on in the background with us just kind of puttering around doing something, it's something usually like I Love Lucy or Bewitched or something like that. And of course, Mrs. Kravitz, Gladys Kravitz, she was the busybody, the know-it-all, the George, look at what they're doing now. But you say you're Gladys, but she wasn't nosy. She was a pioneer. Explain that to me because I cracked up when I read that. I was just like,
she's just cared. So, I think Mrs. Kravitz was just totally misunderstood. I think she cared. And it's funny you mentioned I Love Lucy too, because I Love Lucy. Lucille Ball is one of my heroes for sure. I used to watch an episode before school every morning as a little girl. And oh my gosh, just the stories that Lucy got into. And I've one of the best compliments I got was one of my reviews a few months ago. Someone compared me to Lucille Ball and some of the stories that I have in my book. That was just the best.
High praise.
So,
praise.
I love Lucy and I love Gladys Kravitz. Can't say the word. It's too early. I was my 5 p.m. flight from New York last night turned into a red eye. We were on the tarmac for about 100 years. So, my thoughts are a little bit ahead of me or behind me somewhere.
You're doing good. You're doing good. Yeah, Gladys Kravitz. I'm just not saying that you know, it's. But I had to laugh because the picture that paints, if that's the kind of word pictures you use, you know, you nailed it out of the park. And you also mentioned, you know, George Bailey, which It's a Wonderful Life is quite possibly one of my favorite, you know, metaphorical stories that really is out there. So I mean, it just sounds like that this is, you know, you found your calling, right? I mean, in telling these stories and teaching this. Now, is this, and I, yes, I really, my producer just said I identify with Mr. Potter. Yes, yes, I do. I would sell the farm. Sorry, that's how it works. So was your first book the same kind of thing? I mean, was this the same kind of stuff, or is this kind of a new direction for you in writing?
Yeah. Well, I'm totally open to different genres or different ideas, but I really would love to continue to write personal essay books. My first book was really a story about my biological background and all of the pieces that came together to build the life that I had as a young woman. I wrote my story at 28 or 29. And I was the youngest of 9 children orphaned by our biological parents. And so that's really, that story is the backstory to all of that. And it was tough there. You know, there's some really funny moments in that book too, just because my life is, a common thread in my life has been fun stuff and my sense of humor and just the comedy that happens in life. But that book is really much more serious, and it talks about all of the pieces of the puzzle to my life and how I got to a point in my late 20s when I was just really exhausted by the effort to keep it all together. And I really struggled with a lot of shame connected to my biological parents. And in the end, there's a lot of healing and forgiveness. And I really have lived my life very differently since that point. And during that season, when I felt a lot of these, you know, the revelations I talk about and the epiphanies I have in this book, the current book, there were similar things that happened in the first book that I talk about, but in a much more dramatic sense, because right. It was a very personal story.
Well, and is this where you're going to, are you going to continue? Are you going to do more serious stuff, or were you just want to kind of do the more anecdotal stuff?
Both. If I feel like there's something really that's a serious subject that I want to tackle, then I'll do that. Right now, I feel like I want to continue writing some of just these, you know, the stories in the daily life. Some of the stories are daily, more common, you know, things that would happen in a day, and some of them are really extraordinary things. So I just feel really open to writing whatever lands in my brain.
You also got a whole list of one-liners, which I had to crack up about because I just, you know, I peruse through. I'm a guy, I'm a people watcher, and so I'll peruse a website and kind of go through stuff. And, you know, I used to be such a great speller. Thanks for ruining my life spell check. You've got some great one-liners in here that are just like, this is killing me. And you're the Kenoki Whisperer, apparently. Is that a thing? I mean, is this like the greatest thing ever?
Cannoli?
What is it? Gnocchi, right?
Cannoli is an Italian pastry. Yeah.
No, but you said Gnocchi Whisperer. You're the Gnocchi Whisperer.
Gnocchi.
Gnocchi. I can never remember how to pronounce that. That's. I'm not fancy enough. I'm not fancy enough. Yeah, my producer can. Pronounce it, Burger. You love that fancy schmancy stuff. I don't even know how to. Gnocchi, whatever it is. I know it's. Gnocchi, I've had it one time. But you're apparently the Whisperer. You love that.
Yeah. I just got back from 5 days in New York, and I was on a mission to find the best gnocchi in New York, in Manhattan. And I literally had gnocchi 2 out of 3 meals for the first 3 days. And then after that, I kind of sprinkled it back in, but
It does explain a lot when you say, I don't mean to overstate things like I'm a carb freak or anything, but I do sweat flour. That makes sense now. I get that. I get it's going on.
I told myself I wasn't going to weigh myself for a few days, but this morning I had to do it, and I gained 5 pounds, 5 pounds in 5 days. So that's pretty good. It could have been way worse, so.
Oh, yeah. I've been there, done that, got the paycheck to prove it. It's pretty much fun. The name of the book is I Punched Myself in the Eye. When life is messy and you write essays, you get messes, apparently, is what she says here. Pamela Capone has been our guest. You can find her piece out on Amazon.com. You can also go to PamelaCapone.com, and you can find it there. We got links up on our website, so you could go out there and check it out. Pamela, Are you working on the next one now, or is it? Are you going to wait a couple days? What are you doing?
Yes, I'm starting work on it right now. Yeah, definitely. So, I'm hoping to have it out next year.
Hoping to have it out. People, again, you can go out and read all the cool stuff that's out on our website. There's a ton of funny stuff out there. Just go to PamelaCapone.com and you'll get sucked in like I did for 10 or 15 minutes on all the different things that she's got laid out on the website. It's a sticky site, Pamela. Mission accomplished. Good job.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and joining us. And we welcome you back when you get your new book out. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Thanks. Go get some sleep. And no more gnocchi for you. The Michael Duke Show, AM 700, KBYR, Alaska Talks here.